This is an oral history with Tucker Collins on 4th of March 1991 with Arnold Thackeray and Francis Culver. Tucker, could you begin by telling us a little bit about where you were born and the family you were born into?
I was the first child born in Moraine, Ohio, which is on the west side of Cleveland, known for steel mills and burning rivers, actually, to an interesting woman and a chemical engineer. My father grew up in New York, in the city area, reasonably affluent family, went to MIT and took a job with B.F. Goodrich, kind of doing chemical stuff, which brought him to a plant, Avon Lake. My mother was much less fortunate. She was in the middle ranks of a guy who died in his 40s, very young, in Akron, Ohio. She went on full scholarship to Smith, was a very smart woman, and was working as a chemist with B.F. Goodrich, going to law school part-time at night at Case when she met my father. She's a very smart lady. I think nowadays she would have been a full-time person throughout her life. She took time off to take care of us. I'm not sure whether she actually lived up to all of her potential. Anyway, I was in Lorraine for a year, then in basically a bedroom community, also on the west side of Cleveland called Avon Lake, for a couple of years, and then another community in Cleveland where I started school. That community is called Bay Village. Those of you that know Cleveland know that the east side is the place to be. Shaker Heights, Cleveland Heights, University Heights. This is the west side, which is, I don't think, nearly as interesting. Okay, from there, fourth grade, went to New Jersey. My father worked in and out of New York City, and at this point my mother was doing nothing but being a full-time housewife. Just parenthetically, let me note that she was a full-time housewife basically from about the time I was small to about the time my brother went to college, at which point she went back into banking. She retired as a bank vice president and running a probate department. So this was Summit, New Jersey, which is another bedroom community, basically, for New York, known to some because it houses a big pharmaceutical, and it's nearby Bell Labs. What can I tell you there? I was not the friendliest of people. I'm still not the friendliest of people. My grandparents had a place out on Long Island. If you know Long Island at all, it's Nassau County, Suffolk County. Nassau is where the burbs of New York are. Suffolk's some of the nice places. Long Island splits into two parts, and they had a summer place. So I spent most of my summers while we were in New Jersey learning how to sail, and have been kind of a lifelong sailor. Anyway, we went back and forth there, summers on Long Island, back to New Jersey for 4 or 5 years, and then went back to Cleveland, where I graduated from high school. I would say the thing most important in terms of scientific development was the attendance as a junior in a program called the Program in Biochemistry, or PIB as we call it. This was an NSF-sponsored program back when the NSF had funding, which basically allowed high school students to study what we would call molecular biology now, what was called biochemistry at that point. It's an interesting story, actually. I remember my father was basically a basketball fan. Being my size, you really have to play, and he wanted nothing but to have me play basketball. And my mother basically was the one who thought this was a great idea. I was very interested in science. I should do this. And big fight. And anyway, she won, like most women, eventually gets her way. It's a good thing. I certainly remember her fondly for that, because I had a great opportunity. And interesting, you have in this program a number of people that have benefited from that. Peter Arvon, for example, as well as a new first-year person, Stuart Schumann. We met them 20 years ago in this program.
All three of you?
All three of us, at least. In the same group at the same time, yes.
This was geographically in the same.
Oh, yeah, this is the same program. The way the program ran was actually very interesting. They solicited juniors going to be seniors in high school, and basically Tocolininger at the time was a standard college textbook of biochemistry and crammed it into 6 weeks. There were assistant, or what they were called advanced students, and instructors. Instructors were from the various colleges in the Northeast, which is great because you got a chance to chit-chat with some of the folks from different institutions. Advanced students were seniors going into college. And the program was basically didactic sessions in the morning followed by afternoon experimental laboratories. And you essentially were enrolled in a research environment. I basically have been doing science since I was 15, 16, something like that. And certainly by the time I went to this high school program, we were well enmeshed in what I would consider now to be postgraduate level research. Anyway, yes, there are a number of people. I know Peter Arvon was there, and I know Stuart Schumann was there because I taught both of them, actually, or was involved with them. It'd be interesting to check the files of the Pew against the files of the people that played through this program. But it was a tremendous opportunity to experience different people from different institutions. The director of the program was from Amherst College, and two of the instructors were from Amherst College. And based on our associations, that was the thing that led me to that particular choice of college. There are a number of people from Princeton and from MIT, and I just wasn't happy with the kind of general education that I was sensing from them, believe it or not. Anyway, they taught you biochemistry in 6 weeks. I graduated from high school, basically after dropping out of the program and alienating the hell out of my father. And they moved again. They moved to Ann Arbor. So I basically have not been back to Cleveland, actually, since I left to go to college. Did go to Amherst College and was interested in English and in basically biochemistry or molecular biology, genetics. Amherst is a reasonably liberal arts education. You couldn't focus on one of those things. It was just kind of generic biology. The subsequent 4 years, I would say, I developed an interest in gainful employment, so decided to go to medical school instead of graduate school, essentially to increase salary, still being a scientist for the most part.
Can I take you back to what? Your first interest in science, you said 15 or so.
Well, that was the first time I really decided to try and establish professional training. I had been interested for a long time. I was alienated by religion very early on and was interested in prebiotic synthesis mechanisms and organic chemists. Until I went to Amherst, I was interested in being an organic chemist, essentially. So I remember trying to read chemistry books very early on, fourth grade, fifth grade. A lot of my relatives had leftover textbooks from one thing or another, and I ended up with most of them and was rummaging around and kind of leafing through them. And because I lived in so many places, I just kind of said to hell with everyone and spent a great deal of time looking at that kind of stuff. In fact, I should have mentioned, the senior year I was interested in a particular research in high school, a particular research project, and submitted it to the Westinghouse people. And the Westinghouse chose the project as a what they call a national Westinghouse scientist thing, whatever they award. So there were 18,000 or so people, and they chose a bunch of intermediate finalists and 40 national finalists, and we went to Washington for a week. And we competed for scholarships, which probably rightly so, I didn't receive one. It's interesting to see how the people in that top 10 group did. Two of them were dead, interestingly enough, by suicides. Lots of mathematician people. The people in biology are still around, but our junior faculty in various institutions. But it was very interesting because I was the first person from the west side of Cleveland ever to win this. They were astounded. The east side was absolutely flabbergasted.
Was your school? You're describing a lot of internal motivation, but was your school? Was your mother from the outside?
No, they really weren't very helpful, to be honest. This was the west side of Cleveland. Basically, is kind of Big Ten in this mentality. It is a intellectual desert, basically. You have to have a lot of self-motivation to survive. Most of the people I know never got out of the Midwest. They may have moved on, but they never survived. And certainly I'm the only one left in major academics.
Well, you must have got a pretty big boost out of winning that thing, didn't you?
Well, it was basically a blow to my father, because he said you should be playing basketball, and basically you're out of your mind to do this. There's no chance in hell you're ever going to win it. It was great in terms of college applications, because the only place that turned me down was the Naval Academy, interestingly enough. As I told you, another theme in my life is I was a sailor. I wanted to be a line officer. And I probably would have been in the Middle East, but I wanted my own ship. And they said, A, you're too tall, you hit your head on the bulkhead. B, you can't see, so we can't put you in an airplane. But I could have gone anywhere else. In a sense, it's quite fortuitous that Amherst was interested. Once you win something like that, that basically every place wants you. It's a question of how much money they're going to give you.
Can you fill in a little bit about your brother and sister?
My sister didn't go this route. No. We are a very diverse family, actually. The politics is really not particularly good at all. My sister is the women's tennis coach at the University of Pennsylvania, but is crippled by a debilitating disease, unfortunately. It's called scleroderma. I don't know whether you're familiar with it. It's an autoimmune connective tissue disorder, basically, that reduces... it affects the respiratory system, the GI system, and is potentially quite debilitating. Anyway, she's a great tennis player. Most of my family is good to world-class athletes. Many of my members of the family have played at Forest Hills for tennis. They're really good tennis players. We used to, back when the U.S. Open was held at... not in Flushing, but in the old tennis stadium in Queens, they all played there. They were never got very far in the tournament, but basically were good enough to get in. She probably could have been if she wasn't so damn debilitated by this disease. Anyway, what can I tell you about her? She went to Rollins College in Florida on a tennis scholarship. What else is interesting? She's married to a guy in Philadelphia who is... nice guy. She had one child. Shortly after the birth of her child, one of the things, complications of scleroderma, or autoimmune disorder, she lost her kidney function. And we were all typed for renal transplants, and my father and I, I'm mismatched at both haplotypes. My father gave her a kidney, and a year and a half later, unfortunately, he died of another incredibly awful disease called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. He was 59, actually. He was a guy who could beat me in tennis 2 years before his death. He was in excellent shape, and basically because of a chronic aggressive disorder that we really don't understand, lost voluntary function of all his musculature, was eventually reduced to sitting in a chair, unable to move, and died of pneumonia at home.
Which is your brother, who's the...
Okay, he was born in 1960, so he's 8 years younger, and we were just out of sync. In a sense, we moved so many times, we share nothing in terms of background. He graduated from high school in Michigan, went to a college in Ohio, and is now doing environmental engineering. Did an undergraduate degree in geology and is now interested in sort of pollution control. He's a fairly normal guy. Has one kid. Lives outside Boston.
Go back to Amherst, if we may.
All right.
You're coming in with Westinghouse. So.
Well, I was very lucky. The Westinghouse was quite remarkable. Amherst College is an amazing place. There are a number of very, very smart people there. And I would put my... In terms of Amherst College, I didn't come from a prep school. I certainly did not have the level of sophistication that about half the class had. And it was certainly an aggressive place. I would say I was at best average. But it was a good experience. I think the people there are spectacular in terms of their breadth, their depth of interest, their writing skills. The quality of education is superb, and I certainly didn't take advantage of everything. Both because of a focus toward what it turned out to be an eventual pre-medical interest, as well as my own cognitive function. There's still a limit to how much you can handle, because they will keep you very busy. Anyway, it's a great place, certainly excellent. I wish the English department had taken me. It was a very interesting story. You have to apply to the English department. And my application, I remember the interview you had as a very prestigious professor called Benjamin Lamont, who was a Shakespeare scholar. And he won't remember me at all, but he kind of picks up the essay and he kind of looks down, leaves through it, and then looks up at me. And his first comment was, "Mr. Collins, is there anything else you can do?" Mr. Collins, on a good day, you'd be a mediocre journalist. So I knew my route to medical school was short, and my abilities to generate creative literature would be limited to papers. So anyway,
did the science keep up?
Well, Amherst has the ability to fluctuate depending on the faculty members who were there. And I was fortunate enough to be there with a guy who did not get tenure, was eccentric as hell, but was the forerunner of what we would now call molecular biology, as well as the guy I had met at the program in biochemistry in the summer. His name was Ed Ledbetter. He was a microbiologist. And the other fellow's name was Walter Godshaw. And Walter was interested in the initiation of translation in vitro, and provided what I thought was an excellent education. In fact, graduate school in Rochester was worthless, to be honest. I didn't get out as fast as I could. The graduate program was pathetic. But we'll get into that in a minute. I learned most of what I needed in the time at Amherst.
Were you doing research in that
time? Yes. In the summers, I returned as an instructor to this program in biochemistry. The NSF-sponsored thing. Instead of being a student, you're an instructor, so you taught. And that's how I met people like Peter Alvar and Stuart Schoen. They were coming through as students. Okay, so yes, we were interested in the metabolism of amines. These are compounds that are around us all the time. And the director of the program had a particular interest, and he gave us each a different amine, and we were to understand its degradative pathway by microorganisms. Okay, fine. It was good. It was good experience. You have to make inroads based on lab data and so forth. Okay, so that was freshman summer and sophomore summer. You'll notice I never went home. I was either in college or at home. I really didn't have much to do with any of those clients. The junior year, I was fortunate in the sense that the biology department could nominate one person to go to the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole. And that was the first of what I would consider to be four real breaks. We've already talked about one. That was Westinghouse getting into Amherst. This is the second. The Marine Biological Laboratory has a physiology course. So in 1974, I was in taking that course, and that's where I met Gerald Weissman, who I would consider to be an important intellectual force. That's why I'm here, basically. I mean, he helped. We'll talk about that, but he knows who I am. He knows who many of us are, I think. Certainly pushes the advisory committee for folks when they don't look quite so good on paper. But the course was fantastic. It broadened out what I would consider to be a reasonable education, but filled in the gaps that Amherst College couldn't fill in. And it provided an access to an scientific intellectual climate that is really spectacular. I don't know whether you've ever been to Woods Hole in the summer, but it's just, people descend from Boston and New Haven and set up housekeeping, and there's the intellectual discourse there in the friendly environment of the sun and sand and so forth is really good. But more importantly, Weissman has an intellectual, a cognitive function level which I hadn't run into before. Lots of folks there were good protein chemists, or they were good nucleotide chemists, but Jerry was the only one who could talk about impressionistic art or 19th century British literature in the same sentence. And that kind of stimulation to get into intellectual life I found to be very powerful. Okay, so he was kind enough to invite me back to work in his laboratory the next summer. So I went back for a second summer at the MBO. And I don't know whether you want to know about the scientific things going on at the same time. That's what's in the CV. You'll see two papers there that were very early, 75 and 76 or something like that, both due to Jerry. Jerry's very productive and converts things into text very quickly. And one of the papers is actually still good, believe it or not. I think it's interesting. One in PNAS by Weissman et al. The one looking at immunoglobulin-coated liposomes, basically, is a technique for transferring enzymes. These days,
how did you feel about getting into print like that?
Oh, that's always a spectacular feeling, because that paper was cited in Scientific American. I will never forget the day that it came out. And people at Amherst College came up to me and said, "Did you know your name was in Scientific American?" It was, they have a kind of a commentary on science that was happening, sort of like the beginning of Science Magazine has a This Week in Science. Well, Scientific American has Science for the Common Citizen or something. They mentioned this paper. It was what we would call it now is gene therapy, and it got a lot of press. I wish if this had been 20 years later, Jerry could have had a patent on this, and it could have been worth a fortune. But we weren't thinking like there's a transition that's going on. We just weren't thinking biotechnology in the early 70s. The idea of being able to put enzymes back into cells that are deficient in that particular enzyme is the basis for most a lot of biotechnology now. Using liposomes, Jerry has a whole company on liposomes now. Anyway, I applied to Rochester. I applied to lots of medical schools and some combined degree programs. I did write a thesis at Amherst College, I should tell you that. I don't think it's on there. It was basically having to do with the synthesis of opsin in vitro, opsin, O-P-S-I-N. It's the major protein component of the visual pigment present in rods and cones. We were interested in this protein as a model for membrane protein assembly in vitro. This was the major a major interest of this guy, Walter Gottschall, and we did a lot of in vitro protein synthesis. Okay, so I graduated from Amherst College, applied to medical schools in MD-PhD programs, and the only MD-PhD program that I got into was Rochester. And I, reluctantly, I did get into some other medical schools. But Rochester, the difference between an MSTP program and medical school is dramatic when it comes to funding. One, you go for free. The tuition is covered on for both graduate programs. The other, you'd have to find private resources. And since I wasn't at the time really speaking to anybody, I felt it was appropriate to cover my own expenses. So I packed up for 6 snowy winters in Rochester, New York.
What's MSTP?
Medical Scientist Training Program. Okay. The NIH has, I think, 15 institutions in the United States that fund these combined degree programs.
Why can you say a little bit more about motivations to get the MD and PhD?
I'll be very honest, since this is a frank interview. An MD is job security. It is a broad education. The problem with graduate education is it's very limiting. Medical school is a tremendous exposure to the human condition. You get things, psychiatry, pediatrics, OB, that you just would never encounter in graduate school. It's the best continuation of a Renaissance graduate education that I can think of.
Had you worked that out for yourself, or was someone advising you?
Oh, no. No one advises me. I would say there are people who I talk to, but everything... I'm responsible for the major decisions. I think, no, there really wasn't. I'm trying to remember. There may have been some subtle thoughts, but most people at Amherst go to business school, law school, medical school, or into education programs. There are very few going to direct graduate school. But I think had I been interested in that, I could have done that. But I just was more interested in continuing to broaden a bit. And realizing that you could do both graduate programs, come up with at least a marketable degree, plus if you have any talent for professional research, you could then continue.
Did you change or?
No, I don't think it's time.
Oh. Okay.
Is this the sort of stuff you want to hear?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
this
fine.
Is fine. This
okay.
is fine. You said Rochester wasn't too good as an experience.
Well, personally, scientifically, I would say we're disasters. Personally, it was a disaster. scientifically, I would say that the medical school is excellent. It's a very card-carrying, traditional, very traditional medical school, in the sense that one does 2 full years of basic sciences with grades and so forth, and then one does the clinical years. It is a very pleasant place to do medical school. You're not going to get shot in Rochester. It's a lovely place to be entrenched, because your life is very easy. There are no problems. It's a city dominated by Kodak, which is a very conservative company, and that tenor tends to reflect in all aspects of the city's life. Okay, fine. Medical school is medical school. It's like doing plumbing. It's a trade school degree. They're pretty much the same everywhere. The graduate education, I would say, many chairs were missing. Put it this way, I have more money now than my entire department did as a graduate student in micro. I was formerly a graduate student in micro. After doing the first 2 years, I then went into the laboratory for 2 years and was working with a guy by the name of Jim Wilhelm, who was formerly in microbiology, but was again what we would call a molecular biologist now. We were interested in the same kinds of things I was doing as an undergrad, which greatly facilitated the rate at which I could get things done. But Jim was a nice guy, but he had what I would consider to be a reasonably weak personality, and he was eventually, about the time I was leaving, he didn't get tenure, and his marriage split up, and he ended up in Philadelphia. working for a company. It was clear to me that he was not a major scientific mind. The nice thing about having worked with Weissman is I knew where I had to go. I knew what first-class science was, what first-class intellectual thinking was, and this wasn't it. So I tried to get through as fast as I could and get back to something else. Okay, I came to Rochester single after having known an interesting woman in college. Her name was Pat Gallagher. Pat was a very smart lady who went to Georgetown Law School, where she was a star, and basically just missed being a Supreme Court clerk. Anyway, we were involved on and off again, and she was, so she thought, was interested enough to me to come to Rochester. She took a great job in one of the big law firms, and after, I think it was the first 2 years, she had basically established herself in Rochester, and I think the following year, my third year in Rochester, I'd have to remember exactly the dates, but we were married for about a year, I would say, when I was in my third year doing clerkships, and it turned out she was much more interested in some of the other more powerful attorneys. She was a aggressive Democrat, was an alternative to the Democratic National Convention, was very interested in politics, and I was a medical student trying to survive. And basically, we never saw one another, and my last year in Rochester, we basically separated, and it was remarkable. She said they have a computer on their firm, or their firm has a computer which spit out a separation agreement. She said she separated us in about 45 seconds. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Alternative, right?
On that note, yes.